Hello, and welcome to another episode, a beautiful Friday edition of Point to Point. It is the show where I drive from point to point and try to get to the point. And today we've got a couple of points, and I think I've got a little bit longer of a drive. So let's dig into this. First point, happy day after Switch 2 launch day for those celebrating. My timeline was full of people getting Switch 2s, and it seems fun. I hope you all are having a good time out there with your Switch 2s. I recently posted a thing yesterday, I think, on the site, kind of going through my still somewhat mixed feelings about the Switch 2 that kind of were in. We're in yesterday's episode of Point to Point as well. As these things go, you say a thing just randomly on a podcast, and then you kind of let it percolate in the brain for a couple hours, and then you kind of have like more well-formed thoughts about it. And I think generally what I said yesterday is how I still feel about the Switch 2, but with the added piece of, listen, if you're feeling bummed out that you didn't get one, or, you know, you didn't get one, you couldn't get one, you chose not to get one, and your timeline is filled with all those Nintendo red boxes, and you're feeling the itch, just remember, all of that emulated stuff is still out there, you know? Just get some legally obtained ROMs that you have in your personal collection that you have dumped yourself. And go try out some of the classics that, if you are like me, you probably missed. You know, when was the last time you actually played Metroid Fusion? Or, you know, jump into some of the new, like, incredible ROM hacks going on out there. Like, Pokemon Sea Glass is the one that's been recommended to me a lot, and I finally did the work to update, patch a ROM to play that. And I'm excited to spend some time over the next couple weeks kind of digging into a lot of these emulated games that I have not had a time to get back to and really try out. You know, I think there is this big surge of interest in emulation from a very, like, general public standpoint when Delta was allowed or released to the iPhone. And, you know, that was over a year ago. That was last April when that happened, if you can believe it. And I have had that app sitting on my phone, and it has been collecting dust. And the Switch 2 stuff, trying to move my weird FOMO into something a bit more productive, and hopping into that, trying out some of these new old games that I haven't touched yet, and getting a bit of an education on like the history of some of these Nintendo franchises that, you know, maybe someday I will end up getting to Switch 2 and work my way up to Metroid Beyond. But, you know, until then, there's plenty, you know, thousands of other games out there that I could be playing that, you know, give it a shot. See if you find something that you like. You learn something about what you do like also. Also, I guess part of this, I'm not going to be talking about the state of play. I'm actually headed home now to give that a watch. I'm curious. I had incredibly low expectations for that thing, and from what I have seen and heard from other folks, it sounds like they did it. It was a good one. I think those things are always, they're always a little bit of a toss-up because, you know, it so much depends on your taste. I know sometimes those shows can lean one way or another on genre, whether it's like the Sony Studio flavor or, you know, I feel like in the summer it's usually these are the fighting game ones. I mean, I think I saw there's a Marvel fighter in there. But honestly, the thing that I am so curious about now is Pragmata is a real game, I guess, and they showed a little bit more of that, so I want to go see what the hell that thing is, which should be cool. I think my bigger point that I kind of want to get to, that's all in this like swirl of Switch 2 stuff and the PlayStation showcases and the kind of just absolute onslaught of press conferences and commercials that are going to be hitting us over the next, like, 3 to 5 days is, there is this piece in Aftermath yesterday, I think, by Luke Plunkett, and I really encourage you to go read it. It's a really well-written blog post, and I kind of want to just get this part out of the way first, because my point is broader about the piece in general, but it's a really good and also kind of gutting piece of writing that talks about how, like, we are all, like, in games media, the people who have been doing it forever and the new people like me are all just kind of going through the motions. And, you know, we're all just going to go and write our coverage for the Switch 2. We're going to write our coverage for all of the announcements. We're going to write up all of the big indie games that in 6 months we're going to forget existed. We're going to go through all of this rigmarole to publish videos and words about all of the crazy stuff that Jeff Keighley brings to his big show that, you know, ostensibly is just a big old commercial, right? Like, there's commercials within the commercials, and we're all just coming together and being excited for this thing to happen. And we're doing that all while recognizing the realities of the gaming industry, right? Like, there are thousands of people, again, who have been laid off this year. There were thousands of people who were laid off last year. There were thousands of people who were laid off the year before. There are studios being shut down. I mean, that Black Panther studio, Cliffhanger Games from EA, was just shut down, like, earlier this week. You have, you know, the games media continuing to be hit. We're not even, what, a month and a half from when Polygon was shut down. From all reports, was a successful, profitable gaming outlet, is now just gutted. The day that probably they're going to hit, they would have hit their most traffic with the Switch 2 stuff coming out and everything. Like, they're just shut down, basically. They have a skeleton crew over there. And the piece in Aftermath kind of talks about how, like, how is it that we can kind of continue doing this? Like, how can we... I mean, they liken it to... Luke likens it to just, you know, playing music on the Titanic, which, you know, fine. We're all just listening to the beautiful music of what does Hideo Kojima have to show us about Death Stranding 2. All the while, it's kind of this, you know, hey, look, a distraction kind of thing to distract us from what's actually happening, and that is kind of the wholesale internal destruction of this hobby, of this, like, artistic medium. And I agree with the piece broadly. You know, I think that it's resonant with where we are right now. You know, we have the Steam charts are filled with indie games that I will never hear of, indie games that will, you know, never get coverage. There's more and more people who are displaced by, you know, either displaced by all of these layoffs, who are going out on their own to make their own thing, or people like me who have always been trying to break into this space, putting something out, and then, you know, being met with nothing, just because everything is so kind of bloated on the creation side, and not in a bad, you know, it's tough. Like, it's not in a bad way. I think that the democratization of the tools is something that is really positive, and I think it's good that people are able to, you know, get their art into the world. It's the part where the bounds of this industry seem to be shrinking. And part of that is, you know, feeling like we are in the legacy part of this. You know, you look at the coverage the day before, or, you know, the weeks before the Switch 2 comes out, And games coverage, for the most part, like, you know, the big story of the day was Fortnite being back on Apple platforms, an AI Darth Vader saying some slurs, and, you know, bringing Darth Rey or whatever to Fortnite. Like, these are the headlines that are on The Verge. You know, this is the stuff that's hitting the mainstream. And part of that is because, you know, a lot of people play Fortnite. But also, I think the thing that is a struggle that is, you know, kind of brought up in the piece is people who like console video games, for the most part, are no longer the main consumer of video games. You know, the main consumer of video games is that 10-year-old kid who plays Roblox, Minecraft, or Fortnite. And I think we all kind of come together for, you know, we all come together to have the funerary celebration of life for E3 every year. And the people who show up to that are, you know, they've been doing it for 15, 20 years. And I, you know, you can see the stretches there, right? Like, you start to see that this is all kind of legacy media doing the legacy media rigmarole to put out the legacy media pieces. And I get it. Like, when everything is so fucked and we live in such a bad time right now, it's hard to summon up the excitement to go to a flashy games showcase where mostly what you're looking at are commercials that are, you know, that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then, you know, you go back and you look at the top two, you know, the biggest surprises, I guess, or like some of the bigger announcements from 2024. And let me remind you, in 2024, Lego Horizons was announced, and so was Harry Potter Quidditch Champions. Two games that I think no one has thought about since they came out. And it starts to make the case for itself, right? Like, we all come together for this huge weekend of excitement that's supposed to be this cool festival experience. And, you know, people get hands-on with games, but there are fewer and fewer people to cover those games. And then even the people who are covering those games, like, the coverage of those games do not last very long. Like, that's just it, you know? And we'll forget about them until we don't forget about them anymore. And then they'll come out, we'll forget about them again. And I think it's a really dismal way of looking at the industry, which is not undeserved, right? Like, I think that is the state of the industry we are in right now. My main point, I guess, and the thing that frustrates me about the piece from Aftermath is, it just, like, the piece just ends and says, like, oh, you know, all of this stuff makes me wonder how many more years we have for events like this before this industry kind of just collapses on its own bloated, inflated sense of itself. And I think the thing that bothers me the most about the piece is there's no conclusion, right? Like, there's this sense that everything's terrible, you know, games coverage is shrinking, which I think if you consider what game coverage was 20 years ago, I think that is fully true. I think games coverage, just like the pieces arguing these events need to change, games coverage has changed. You know, that we have evolved in a way that may not be to a journalist's liking. You know, I also bristle at the notion of being a content creator versus a, like, media writer or critic. But, you know, it's tough. Like, every SGF is someone's first SGF, and there is a certain amount of excitement to get in there. And the thing that bothers me about the piece so much is that there's no conclusion. There's no, and that's why we need to do this. And it just ends. It just says, like, oh yeah, it sucks, and it makes me wonder how long this thing is going to exist. And I think the question needs to be, especially for outlets like Aftermath, where they have made the impossible pivot from, you know, industry institution to independent outlet who needs to make smart decisions about what they put out. Like, okay, like, you are, like, for all intents and purposes, the independent small outlet is, at least for now, the future of this coverage industry. So what are you going to do about it? You know, like, what's the alternative to doing SGF? Like, there are these so many people who have so many very strongly held opinions about games coverage and the games industry, and, you know, we can kind of go back and forth all day about, like, well, I can't do anything about, you know, corporations just fucking everything. And that's true. Like, you know, for the most part, you can't. Like, you can try to hold them to account, but at the end of the day, CEO's gonna CEO. But if you're gonna grumble about what all of this stuff is, like, if you're gonna complain about how we're just sitting here rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic while it sinks, then, like, fucking do something about it. You know, what are we doing here? Like, what would you have me do? You know, I'm not gonna sit down and co-stream these announcements. Fine, like, okay, but then what? Like, where do I put that energy? How do I do something that is supposed to be positive and informative and helpful and just, like, generally a thing that is a net good for this industry? How do I do that by, at the same time, not participating in what you perceive to be, you know, the downfall of this industry, and then also doing something that brings it forward? Because the only way that I see someone being able to do that is using your position as, you know, someone who has done this for a long damn time, cultivating and nurturing talent as it comes up. You know, like, until the gaming space is a place that people feel safe and like curious to get into, you're not gonna be able to get new talent. And in order for games coverage to exist, in order for games media, in order for games creation to continue to exist, the space needs to be safe, it needs to be supportive, and it needs to be a place for people to start. Because for the longest time, all of these outlets, you know, Aftermath, Remap, Giant Bomb, like, all of these places, they are storied places that are born out of the death of previous institutions. And all of these people have been in the industry for a long time. And I think I look at what Giant Bomb and, like, Jeff Grubb specifically is doing to get new talent on his morning news show, to, like, elevate voices, to get new people out there, as what we need to do. You know, they talk a lot about, you know, he talks a lot on the show, and they mention it in their kind of independent announcement, that they're trying to lower the ladder down. And I think that is, like, that is the way forward. Like, we can grouse and complain about the state of all of this, and we can kind of grumble about what's going on, but at the end of the day, I think you just need to cultivate new talent. Like, you need to do what Grubb is doing, you need to do what Lex Luddy is doing with Start Menu. Like, we cannot continue to have the same grumbly people who have been in this industry for 15 years doing the same thing, because at some point they're gonna get sick of it, they're gonna retire, they're gonna get out of this, and then what? Then we have no one. So I don't know. Like, this is an incredibly ranty thing about an article I read on the internet, which is dumb as a person who has written has an idea for a blog post that is literally written so you've been outraged by something on the internet. But, like, I don't know. My closing thoughts here are, It's hard to be a person who is interested and wants to be involved in this industry, as everyone who has spent the entire time, you know, the last several years, lamenting how it is dead and dying and toxic and bad. And it is. But also, so is everything, you know? Like, the rise of AI in the past several years has made a lot of the work that most people do just feel empty and hollow and useless. So I just think that if you're going to have this take, which is a completely valid and good take to have, I think that it behooves you to go the next step further. Like, do the thing that every good manager will tell you and say, okay, I understand that you are complaining about this thing. I understand that this sucks. But what are you going to do about it? Like, what is the outcome that you would like out of this? And how do we navigate forward? Because I can tell you right now, a blog post about how shitty the industry is right now is not going to get Jeff Keighley to put aside shitloads of money that, you know, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, etc. is handing him. You know, like, that's not affecting change. So if you want to affect change, what do you do? Like, what can your tiny outlet do to change this? And I can promise you, it's not just writing a blog post like this. Like, you got to do something else. Like, you got to elevate new talent. You have to, like, find a way to get more visibility in here. You have to give other people opportunities. Like, it's great that you're supporting the people who are displaced and are, like, well known from Polygon, and, you know, it, again, like, you're a tiny outlet, you can't do everything, but, like, the opportunity to write your first piece is significantly more impactful to me than the ability to offer someone another opportunity to write a piece. And I don't know how you fix that, you know? Also, I haven't been in this industry for 10 years to know how it fully works. So I, you know, at part of this, you just have to leave it up to the leaders who are leading out front. But I don't know. I just wish that there was a better way for people to make their first mark and be a part of this without making it seem like, because you're trying to be involved in the gaming industry, that, you know, you're just playing soft music while the rest of it sinks. Because, like, there's a naivete there that I think is not true. Like, some people, sure. But people who actually care about this industry know that shit is fucked and would like to do something about it. But the only way that they can do that is, you know, break into the industry and try to shake things up. I don't know. Happy Friday, I guess. enjoy Mario Kart. Enjoy Pokemon Sea Glass. I hope that you are excited for the SGF stuff. Like, as doomer as this rant has been, I think that there's a lot of cool stuff, and as terrible as everything else feels right now, at least being excited about a new exciting adventure on your video game console of choice, like, that is sometimes the escape that we need to kind of find a happy place. So I hope there's something out there for you, and you find enjoyment in it. And I guess if you do, let me know what it is, because I'm always looking for new stuff to get excited about. But that's going to do it for today. I got to hop on this train. This is an extra long one, so enjoy. We'll talk. We probably won't talk next week. I'm traveling, so the show's going to take a week off, and we'll see what happens. But we'll talk soon. Enjoy the SGF festivities, and, you know, take a breather, go for a walk, have a good day. Bye.